Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. You with Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptometry health coach. And this is Atma Health. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We give all the praise and the thanks to the Almighty for allowing us to be here this evening with you and for allowing you to be here with us as well. It is our aim and objective every week on AM360 to enlighten health-conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. Brother and sister, as we say every week, health is all about taking care of the needs of our cells, cell nourishment, with nutrients and resources. We have come to learn that planet Earth is well known in symptometry as an echo chamber of illusion with booga traps everywhere. And it is the testing ground for us. So we ask you to join us every week. We ask you to bring somebody with you so we can learn about these booger traps that cause health to be denied, that will cause health to be denied. We denied health because we don't understand the rules, the laws that govern health, the rules to health, They're natural laws. They're universal laws. There's laws of physics. All of these things will interfere, not only interfere with our health, but it'll take our life if we're not in compliance. We have to always be in compliance with these rules, these laws that govern our creation, our body. The same one that govern the creation govern our body. We're part of the creation. So when we make mistakes and we don't correct them, then we have a disease as a penalty for breaking the rules or violating the law. This is what we've learned. So the human body is high maintenance, not low maintenance. It's high maintenance. There's many things that we have to learn to do to take care of it, to give ourselves what they need, learn to protect our DNA, protect our RNA, protect the cells, remove blood impurities. All these things we have to know about and we have to be doing if we want to remain healthy on this toxic, predatory, and adversary planet called Earth. That's what has to be done. And that is the Purpose Live program, our show every week, to share information with our listeners that can help them learn how to navigate planet Earth and restore our health. Most of us, our health is compromised, so we want to restore our health. We have an excellent topic outlined for us today, and we thank you once again for joining us. We have our guest, Ms. Rita Taylor, that's been with us for a few months now, and most of you should be familiar with her, but she's going to be helping us, and we're going to be talking about cancer. We're going to be talking about cancer today. There's a lot of misconception, misinformation about cancer in our community, all over the country, all over the world. A lot of misinformation. It is the information that we're not privileged to that can affect our health. So we give knowledge and information that is empowering to the person, because we're all responsible for taking care of our own body. Health is an individual effort that we all must make. If we're going to be healthy, it's up to each and every one of us. Your doctor not responsible, your parent not responsible, your grandparent, none of these people are responsible for your health, your body. It is your body, your vehicle, and you have to learn what to do. And it's evident that our doctors are not telling us what to do to not get a disease, how to prevent diseases, how to stay healthy. They're not telling us. They intervene after we have a disease. This is the problem. They intervene after we have a disease. Almost too late then. For many people, it will be too late. So welcome to Centometry. This is what we really teach about. We call it optimal health, but really it's centometry, the most natural and scientific means to address the needs of human cells. In order to be optimally healthy, brothers and sisters, we all have to be on a paradigm of curing our diseases. We must become disease-free. A disease in the human body anywhere is a distraction. Sooner or later, if we don't cure our disease, we're going to have a mental condition. It's going to affect our brain. No doubt about it. And this is what we're seeing in our society today. Mentally ill people running rampant with guns and weapons and everything else. And people do not know what to do about it. People in leadership do not know what to do. I repeat, a disease anywhere in the human body is a distraction, because the human body is interconnected, integrated, interrelated, and interdependent. And it operates as one biological unit. These are little tips that we share. The human being is high maintenance, not low maintenance. Some of us think our cars and our home is high maintenance. No, the human body is more high maintenance than that, than your car sitting outside. And you cherish that car. You take care of it. You wash it. You maintain it. You take it to the shop, to your mechanic. You want to take your body to the shop to see the doctor when you have a symptom or a disease. So he'll share with you how to maintain this body. This is the most precious gift that you ever have. And it's priceless. absolutely priceless. There's no amount of money you can pay for it. You have to have the knowledge to understand how it operates, what it needs, what kind of food to give it, because all food is not the same. What kind of water should you give it? All water is not the same. I guarantee you own a vehicle, you know what kind of oil to put in it. What kind of oil do you put in yourself? Most of us, if I ask today, and if you were able to repeat it to me, you'll give the wrong answer. Why you don't know? That's the question. Why we don't know the food that's making us sick? The water that's not hydrating ourselves? The beverages that we drink? The fruits that we eat? We eat the wrong ones because no one has shared this information with us. It is only through symptometry and the American School of Symptometry that we know. And my guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor, who happened to be also a certified symptometry health coach. So it's very important, the knowledge that we share, brothers and sisters, you would get it nowhere else. The knowledge is empowering, but if you don't use it, you're not going to benefit. You have to use the information. You have to apply the principle and concept of symptometry if you want to cure your disease, because these three things will not cure your disease that we've been misled to believe. Of course, food won't cure your disease. People say, let your food be your medicine be your food. How is that working for you so far? See, Mrs. Rita know, and I know, there's not enough energy in food to cure anything. Food gives us sustainable energy to carry out our activity for 8 to 12 hours a day. That's it, no more, no less. Now, what are you going to do about curing your disease? You go to the doctor, give you drugs. They don't work either. They don't cure diseases. They treat symptoms. And symptom is not the disease. And then you go to your herbalist, and we're working with herbalists now. They have trembling, Parkinson's disease, hypertension, all these things that you have. Earth will not cure them. So what are you going to do? You're going to keep eating food. You're going to keep using the earth and the vitamins and the minerals, and then you're going to keep taking the drugs? After 10 years, you should have figured it out. They don't work. There's other things that we have to do to remove the blood impurity, the poison, the toxin, all these things that's compromising our cells. That's what health is all about, paying attention to our cells and protecting our DNA that no one has told us about and how to repair it. If the DNA is not repaired, you'll never cure your disease. So we're not here to frighten anyone, but we're here to get your attention. Because something is wrong, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Too many of our people are dying from these diseases, and most of them are preventable. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to take a short break since I got your attention. And we're going to come back, and we're going to start our topic, the mega truth about cancer that your doctor will not dare tell you. If you listen to them, they're still researching the cause of cancer. We already know the cause of cancer. We know it. And we've shared it with you on this program many times, the cause of cancer. But they still say that they need money to research it. What are they doing with the money? We already know what causes cancer. So we're going to come back and we're going to start our topic for the day. And then you have plenty of time to ask questions, so please do not go anywhere. You with Abdul Shaheed and Ms. Rita Taylor, our guest, and we will have another guest coming up shortly. And this is Optimal Health on AM 360. Please do not go anywhere at all unless you're going to take a moment to call someone so they can be privileged to the information that we'll be sharing today that they won't find anywhere, not on the Internet. They don't put this information out on the Internet. You have to come here to get it. So please stay right where you are. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and deputy director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the deputy director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Welcome back, brother and sister. You're with Abdul Shaheed and guests, and this is Optima Health. You're with two, at this moment, certified centimeter health coaches. So we certainly appreciate you joining us today. Mrs. Rita, how you doing?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm fine. Good evening, everybody. I'm delighted to be here to share with you the truth about cancer. But before I start with you, raise your hand if you know of somebody who has cancer. Breast cancer is the leading cause of death for women. Colon cancer for both men and women. Lymphoma, they call it all kinds of names, you know, but it's cancer is cancer. Okay, so I'm going to share with you the truth about cancer. Okay, we know that we get cancer because we do not have oxygen in the area that you have the cancer from. The doctors know about it. It's been known since 1934 that the reason you have cancer, whether it's breast or whatever, is that area do not have any oxygen, and your cell need oxygen. So why are the doctors telling us, what is the doctors telling us about it? No, they are not telling you anything. Before you know, whether you have had cancer and you have chemo or whatever, I'm going to tell you that it is not the cancer that kills you. The cancer doesn't kill anybody else. It is what you're using, the radiation and the chemo, that kills. Because the radiation and chemo, they are toxic. They are toxic metals that you are inhaling into your body. It's poison. It's poison. And you know what? When you have cancer, they give you, let's say, 5 years. Let's see what happens the next 5 years. Why? Because they know the survival rate is about 5 years. Why did they say that? Because they know that you might not survive. But people go in and do it over and over again. And then you know in 5 years or 6 years or 3 years, that cancer returns. And they say, oh, you come back and get the radiation and all that stuff. Why would you do that? When the radiation that you just did not work, why would you do that? So if you're asked to do radiation and chemotherapy, please opt for centimeter because we do have the particulates and the mother keeps to help you heal. Because what you're doing is symptom treatment. And again, I told you that cancer is caused by the lack of oxygen in your cell. This was found out in 1934 by Dr. Otto Lomberg, and he won 2 Nobel Prize Awards for that. So why are they not telling you that? That you know, really? Why are they not telling you that it is the medicine that we are giving you that is killing you, not the cancer itself? The cancer doesn't kill anybody. It is the radiation and the treatment that you're getting and the chemo. And you know, my husband had cancer. And I remember when he went in with chemo, I went in there too. And he spent hours dripping, drip, 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 drip into your body. And you get weak. You become anemic. It wipes up all your red blood cells and all that stuff, and you do it every 2 weeks. You do it every 2 weeks. Okay? But a lot of people do not survive it. They become anemic. They throw up. They can't keep any food in. And they become so skinny, it's not even funny. So they don't know that what they're getting into their body is killing them. And so one of the things that I would like to share with you is that when you have cancer because of lack of oxygen, they're going to give you a choice. They're giving you a choice of chemo or radiation, and most of the time there'll be surgery too because they have to remove that cancer from the body, and then they give you chemo. Okay? And sometimes they don't remove all that, because when they go into you and remove and do surgery, it invites another toxin called streptococcus that will go on the offensive and bring you all kinds of things in your body before you even start the chemo. And, you know, strep is here to make sure that you obey the rules. And because you didn't obey the rules, you have cancer. So they have a right in your body to do whatever they want to do. Again, did the doctor tell you that? No. You're going to have the surgery, and then they'll put you in radiation and chemo. It is a tough, tough treatment. And it is those treatments that are killing people, not the cancer by itself. Okay? We have some examples where people had cancer. They were given radiation and chemotherapy, and it came back, and they refused to go back into the same thing. Again, you know, what is the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again without getting any results, okay? So some people decide that they're not going to go for the second treatment. They will opt for symptometry. And the people that opt for symptometry, they are still alive. But the people that opt for chemo and stuff, most of them are gone. Most of them are gone. So ask yourself, why is the doctor not telling you the truth? And you know what? We get the cancer because we didn't have oxygen, but at the same time, it's based on what we're eating, food. Food is a double-edged sword. The food we eat, the water we drink, the beverages we drink, the medicine, the chemo and radiation, all the chemicals and even natural chemicals, they are the causes of diseases. So they know that the food that you eat is causing it. But when you go in, does the doctor really talk to you about food that you're eating? Do they ask you, what did you have for breakfast today? Oh, give me your schedule about how you eat it. No, they don't. Because if they talk to you about food, maybe we can make some progress. But they don't. And that's the reason we're inviting you to symptometry, because we will teach you scientific cooking. Is the how you cook the food, because, you know, there's no perfect food. Let's honestly, there's no perfect food. But it's how you cook it. And if you have to avoid it, maybe we cannot. It's one of those things. But how you cook and make a difference. Again, we talk about cooking. Again, I'll talk about vegetables that you bring from the grocery. How do you prepare your vegetables? Do you just wash it with water and just put right in your mouth? Mm-mm. Like apples? You just wash it and eat it. Do you know what is inside the apple? Sometimes there's some stuff in there. Some small little worms in the apples. But people don't even know. But they take it and they eat it, and it goes right into their body. And, you know, they have poison. You should not do that. You really, if you're going to eat that, you need to soak in a saline solution for 8 minutes so that you can kill the toxin that was on the plant that you just bought. All the spray that they spray so that the apple looks nice and fresh for you to buy. The wax on them. If you do put in saline solution, it will remove those for you. Okay? But if you do, it means that you're going to eat healthily. So make sure that you do cook your vegetable. I mean, you do put in saline solution. And again, after you finish that, how do you cook that, especially your greens, the mustard greens, the turnip green, the collard greens, which I love. Okay? After you put in saline solution, you put it on a high heat and put salt in it. Teaspoon of salt, only half teaspoon of salt in that, and cook that thing for 1 hour uncovered. Do not cover that. Why? Because there's ammonia and phyto in there that you do not need to consume. So when you do not cover that, it makes sure that they evaporate so that you don't eat it. So after that, then you can cover it for the next hour and a half or 2 hours, depending on how long you're cooking the greens. To be tender. Again, it's how you cook it, because you need to neutralize all the poisons and everything that was on there. You need to do that in such a way that when you eat them, you don't have tummy upset. You don't get sick, because you know the food you're eating is cooked scientifically. Again, we all love meat, and you know, there are some people who are vegetarians. Well, I love meat. So I love meat, so I was never a vegetarian, you know. You can do the fish, or you can do the smoked turkey, which we love, basically, because it gives you hem iron, which your body needs, okay? Even if you're doing the chicken the same way, when you bring it from the grocery store, that turkey or that chicken that you bought is, you know, they injected with poison. They injected with all kinds of things in the meat before they sell it. And when you come in, you just, you know what, you put it, you know, especially with the summer coming up, you put it, you know, you put it on something, and then you eat them within 30 minutes. What did you do? Nothing. All the toxins are in there. So they're going to go inside your body. They're going to go in your blood. So what do we recommend? We recommend that you take out all the fat on the meat, okay? Whether it's smoked turkey or whatever, you take the fat out. You wash it real well. And, again, you put it on high heat for 1 hour. You cook it on high heat for 1 hour. Why? Because we want to neutralize all the toxins. And also we want to make sure that everything that is on there, the amino acid will be out there if we do cook it for the next 11 hours so that the whole meat that you have is really cooked for 12 hours in a crock pot. So when you eat it, it's tender, it's moist, it's wonderful, and you know what? You know that you are eating meat that is free from toxins and everything else, because you need the amino acid that it releases during the cooking. So you see, meat should not be eaten in an hour. It should not be cooked in an hour. If somebody gives you something that's cooked in an hour, you need to be careful with that. So again, how do you cook the food? Because you know what? We all love food, but it's how you cook it that makes a difference. Okay? Again, cooking the meat is important. How do you live scientifically? How do you live? Okay, do you wash your hands when you go into the bathroom? When you're in the car, if something, you know, hits your nose or your eye, did you put your hands in your eyes? Because you don't know what kind of, you know, microbes on your hands. And it can go into your eyes. So take a Kleenex and just wipe it off so that if there's anything, you won't get it. Again, the way you live make a difference. So again, it is what we do that causes diseases. The food that we eat that causes diseases. And the doctors aren't going to tell you that. And you know what people say, well, I don't have anything to eat. There's plenty of food to eat. It's just that you don't cook them right. You don't cook them right. You don't prepare them right. And when you prepare them right, there's plenty to eat. Plenty to eat. Okay? Again, what kind of oil are you cooking with? It is very important that you cook with the right oil. Not palm oil, not coconut oil, not olive oil. You know, I used to love olive oil because you know what? They said it's the best one. So you go in there, you buy olive oil. It's very expensive, but it has saturated fat. And if you continue to use that oil, you will one day get a stroke because you are filling yourself and your body with fat, fat, fat. That's what people go in and get a stent in their heart. They do all that. They say, oh, I don't know. This is my third stent. They're going in, they'll put it in. What are you cooking with? What kind of oil are you using? We recommend canola, which is non-saturated. Canola oil. You'll find it everywhere. Buy yourself a canola oil instead of the olive oil. You would save some money too because it has less fat than any of the oils on the market. Use the oil because you know what? You are saving yourself from stroke. A lot of people with stroke is the fat that they're consuming in their body, and that's why you have that. But again, let's stay with the cancer. So I've talked about the food, how you cook it, and the reason that you're dying when you have cancer is not because of you. It's because of the medicine you're using to treat you. So why do you want to continue to put toxin, poison in your body? Because that poison will stay in your body till you die unless it's oxidized and hydrolyzed. And, you know, basically, unless it's done in symptometry to really clean it up, restore it for you, you're going to have that thing, that poison in your blood till you die. And people don't understand why the cancer comes back. Because you were treated with poison. You weren't treated with anything that's going to help you. And you know what? We also know that cancer, when they do research, you know, they've known of research, they also know of that it's because of lack of oxygen. But also know that the cultured derivative that they put in mice cause cancers, and we are made with the same thing with collagen. So if the cultured derivative in mice cause cancer, then if you take that cultured derivative, it's going to cause one of those things. They know that, the doctors know that. But why are they treating you with chemo and radiation? Why are they not treating you with something that will help you? So when you see the doctor, ask some good questions. Don't just, you know, find somebody to advocate for you and ask some good questions. And if you don't, that's why we have symptometry. Symptometry is here to help people who want to help themselves. Because you know what? As my brother said, your health is your car. You drive it. And you know, how many of us take our car to the shop to get the oil changed, to wash it, to do all the stuff? Why don't you do the same thing to our health? Your health is your number one priority. It is not your mom's baby. It's not your husband's baby. It is not your daughter's baby. It is yours and yours alone. Because the journey that you're taking, it is yours and yours alone. So you take control of your health, then you will be in good shape. That's why we are inviting you to come to St. Commentary. Call Brother Sahid and make sure you get some consultation to help you no matter what disease that you have. There is a cure for you so long as you're willing to eat the right way, cook your food the right way, everything else, and live scientifically. You'll be able to live for a long time. And you know what? The people that decide not to go for the second chemo and third chemo, they themselves said, I'm going to fight this cancer. The symptomatry, they said, I'm going to fight this cancer. And how do you fight this cancer? They develop what we call allotoxin. It gives them the opportunity to live. The cell will give you the opportunity to live if you stop putting poison in your body. The body doesn't need poison. Poison is not good. We need to remove the poison. We call it impurities. All the poison, all the food that we've been eating over the years. And remember, starting from, you know, age five or six, when you start eating, all the food that you've been eating is sitting in your blood. And when you get older, it starts causing diseases. And that's why we say that if you want to live longer, we advise you to join us in symptomatology so that you can purify your blood, you can restore your blood, you can have your cells rebuilt so that you can live longer because the tools are there. We have what it takes to help you. Take care of yourself. Take care of your health. Because, you know, once you know the truth, you're going to fight like hell. You're going to fight so hard that when somebody tries to tell you something, you say, oh, no, no information. Oh, no, why is this so? Why do I need chemo? Why do I need radiation? And they say, oh, it's going to kill the cell. Well, it's going to kill what? They're going to kill you? But they're putting poison. They're using poison to kill the cell, and it's going to kill eventually. So my recommendation, cancer is known because you do not have oxygen. They're using the wrong method to treat you. You do not have to have chemo and radiation. You can opt for symptomatology if you're a patient. We'll get you cured. Believe me, but you won't have that poison in your blood, and you will live longer because you will develop what we call allotoxin that allow you to fight the disease and makes you live longer. There's some people that are older, did this chemo, and then they say, no, I don't want chemo anymore. Now they're living. They're in their 80s and stuff. They're still living. And the people that had chemo and radiation, some of them, they're gone. And they say, oh, come back for a second time. No, we don't go back for a second time. So I'm here to share with you that it is what you're using to treat the cancer that is the reason that people are dying. Cancer doesn't kill anybody. So, is there any questions, or Brother Sahid, would you like to add something to it, or anybody else to add something to what I've just finished talking about?
I'm going to check the line. This is the reader, see if anybody have any questions. And I think we have Miss Yvette. She's here with us as well. I'm going to open her mic. But before we do that, we're going to take a short break. We're going to take a short break, okay? Let us take a short break, okay. And we'll come back, and I have a couple of other things to share, and then we'll also allow people to ask questions if they have questions. So please do not go anywhere. You're with Abdul Shahid and guest, Mrs. Rita Teller, and I see our other guest, Ms. Yvette Dean. Both are certified symptometry health coaches, and they're with us today. So please do not go anywhere at all. We'll be right back. You're with Abdul Shahid, and this is Optimal Health. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, Director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly. Assalamu alaikum, this is...
Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Dafrita Hadi.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shaheed and guests on Optimal Health on AM 360. We have our other certified symptomatic health coach with us, Miss Yvette Dean. You'd like to give us a greeting? Well, maybe she stepped away.
Can you hear me?
Hear you good. Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
We hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Go right ahead.
Thank you for inviting me. Hi, everyone. Yes.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Have you been able to listen in? Ms. Arena shared some excellent information about cancer. You have anything you'd like to add to that before we open our line for questions?
Yes, sure. Oh, yes. I've been here for maybe about 10 minutes. Thank you so much. Wow, Ms. Rita done such a great job there, and she just about, you know, covered everything, and I just want to, you know, reiterate that, you know, she's absolutely right. We do not have to live or be afraid of cancer. You know, if that's just a diagnosis, is that your body telling you that it needs attention. You know, it's like the last result of the body saying, give me attention. I've been starving. You know, the cells are hungry. The cells have been deprived of oxygen. The food that we have been eating has been, you know, clogging them up, congesting them. And they're saying, help, you know, help. But, you know, people who get cancer are like devastated, you know, because we all led to believe that it's such a taboo, you know, topic and our life is over. But that's not true. It's not over. You know, again, it's just the last result. People have lived many years with cancer without any kind of medical intervention as far as radiation and chemotherapy. You know, and they didn't even have symptometry at the time. So you, the body is just letting you know, pay attention to me. You know, it's unfortunately, you know, we got our bodies at that state, you know, but I would like to also add that it's important that what we put in our mouth is very important. You know, for example, when you buy meat in a can, tuna, sardines, it's important to steam them first. Mm-hmm. You have to steam them first, because if you don't steam them, you'll be getting nitrates from can, and that is a tumorigen. It's a carcinogen, you know, which causes cancer. We must heat everything in can that is meat. Vegetables are okay. You know, of course you want to cook them, but, you know, you're not getting nitrates. But vegetables are okay out of a can, but all meats in the can, we must steam them, at least sardines, steam them at least 5 to 10 minutes. I steam mine 10 minutes. You know, 5 is okay, but I just do extra, you know, just in case. I don't want to eat any nitrates, right? So I steam mine for 10 minutes. You know, it's important not to, you know, drink ice water. I know it's summertime now, and we all are overheated and hot, and we feel that we have to have our water cold. But no, we don't. You can slightly chill it, like 30 minutes in the refrigerator. Okay? Just give it a slight chill, and then just drink it. But don't get it real cold, you know. But we do recommend room temperature water, you know. So don't put ice in your water. That's not good. Ice cubes. Nope. That will get you, you know. And then a few examples to avoid cancer. Don't put styrofoam or plastic bowl in the microwave. No. We all use microwaves. I don't use it anymore. Now that I learned at the American School of Cytometry, you know, we never put plastic, okay, or styrofoam in the microwave. Never. That will cause you to have problems, you know, within your body. Okay, we don't want to do that to avoid cancer. That's a no-no. Now, we can put chinaware with a cover, ceramic with a cover. Make sure you cover it up. Put a ceramic top on it or a chinaware dish or glass or something like that in the microwave. So just make sure it's covered. But no plastic, okay? We don't want to have plastic at all. Mm-mm. So those are a few things. And then we definitely want to stay clear of raw vegetables. Nope, we do not want to eat raw vegetables. You know, some of them have mold, like Ms. Rita was saying, that they have worms. You don't just pick up grapes in the store and eat them. You, like, you know, you wipe them off on your shirt or your pants and you put them in your mouth. That's not good enough. Nope, we don't want to do that. We're eating worms and things like that, and we just don't. Don't eat raw greens, you know? No, because the ammonia, like Ms. Rita was saying, it's impossible to repair your liver with the ammonia getting there. You know, and MSG, you know how we cook with them bouillon flavors and you put beef bouillon, chicken bouillon? No. We don't want to put those in. That's MSG. We don't want to cook with those either. So we got to be careful of the things that we eat, things that we cook with, okay? Very, very be careful with those things like that. And most importantly, nuts, okay? Nuts. We never want to eat nuts. They have those hydrocyanic acid. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. But we definitely don't want to eat nuts because that thing's called stagnation in the blood, you know? That's number one cancer causing is nuts. You know, them tasty little things, you know, they have isocyanic acid in it. And that reduces the oxygen in our blood. So we don't want to eat nothing that's going to reduce oxygen in our cells and in our blood. We don't want to do that. So, yes, food is a double-edged sword. We have to be very careful. You know, of course, it's summertime now. We want ice cream, you know. We just can't eat them. We can't eat ice cream. Butter, margarine, we got to stay away from those. All those have saturated fat, okay? And it just prevents the liver from producing good cholesterol. So we have to just be very, very careful, very careful. And ice cream has so many man-made chemicals in it, you know, which needs plenty of enzymes to digest it, to liquefy it. So we have to be careful with the foods that we eat this summer. You know, it's summertime, we love popsicles, we love ice cream because it's hot. It's hot, right? So just get a water and spritz ourselves, right? it is hot. Just spritz myself with water, you know. Go take a couple of showers a day, you know. We just can't, you know, eat those things, you know. Oh, don't let me forget. Sugar, the sweeteners, the sugarless sweeteners. Oh, my goodness. We have to stay away from those. You know, we all want to diet and lose some weight, and we buy those, what is it, Sweet and Low, and those saccharins. Oh, those are so terrible, okay? It's so terrible and cancer-causing with all the chemicals. We definitely do not want to eat those, okay? So we need to definitely stay away from them artificial sweeteners. Nope. These are just some of the things that I'm naming, okay, that can, you know, activate the cancer cells that we all live with. We all live with cancer cells in our bodies. We all do. But as long as we produce a certain enzyme called oxidase, we can keep them under control. And we don't activate them with some of the things that I was naming. As long as we don't activate that cancer gene cells that we have, cells that we have in our bodies, okay, we can keep producing the oxidate enzyme and keep our cancer under control, the cells that we do have, that we do live with every day, under control. Okay, it definitely raw onions. We never want to eat raw onions. No. So I'm just naming a few things, okay, just a few things that will help you prevent cancer. Thank you so much.
Miss Yvette, that's awesome.
You have any questions?
See your hand raised.
Thank you.
I'm going to share some other information, but before I do, I'm going to go to 111. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Sister Amina, how you doing today?
Yes, how are you all today? I wanted to say I just got finished eating my dinner, and I had broccoli and chicken.
Excellent.
Great.
Long as we cook scientifically, and you know how to
yes,
cook it scientifically.
It was. That was my next
yes,
question.
Did you cook it scientifically? Great.
And I'm having some ginger tea, swallowing it down with ginger tea. But what I wanted to ask about real quick, you know, when you get a chance, you know, I printed off that article about the facts about stroke that have been ignored.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was looking at one of the article, I mean, one of the paragraphs was talking about TPA, you know, the plasminogen activator tissue, you know, and I was looking at all the, it says if streptococcus releases hyaluronidase.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I was looking at this part where they're talking about the physician who is administering the pharmaceutical drugs ignores the fact that the person's joints are being overcome by stasis, stagnation. The drug that he or she is administering can never overcome stasis. This is why people who had a stroke and were treated by physicians never recovered. Could you elaborate on that when you finish, you know, your presentation? Just a little, you know, just a little as far as, you know, that particular part of the article about stroke. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, I got salam. Press 1, and we can mute your line and open it for another person. Here's the thing about that streptococcus. We're born with it, and when we violate the rules to health, especially the pH rule, they're going to come out and investigate and find out what's going on. Why did the pH change in this area? And then the violator is going to be punished. And this is what happens. The violator will be punished. They're going to release enzyme types toxin that's going to begin to disintegrate the person's collagen. That's what we're made of, collagen. That's what make up our bones, our tissues, our ligament, all these things. They will be compromised, and the ribosomal RNA will not be able to have the resources to stitch things back together because that toxin would be denaturing the enzyme that they need, that the cells need. This is simply what happens. Now, you can come to cytometry to get what you need to bring down those numbers of the microbes, the streptococcus. But if you don't do that, no drugs is going to take care of it. You have to reverse the mistakes you made. You have to correct the pH. And that's what has to happen. You've been violating the rules. You broke the rules. Now there's a price to pay. You have to learn what you need to do to stay healthy on this planet. That's why we have this program. And be nothing no doctor can do to save you. It is the same way with us having to remove the toxic metal that causes cancer and mental illness and many other conditions. There's toxic metal in the water, in the air, in the food. And you're not removing them from your body. And here's what happens to cause, to set the perfect condition up for cancer. We got toxic metal everywhere. And many of these toxic metals, we already know what they are. Mrs. Yvette already said, you have nitrates in the canned meats and vegetables that we have, and nitrates, they seal it up because it preserves the food, keep you from being poisoned with food poisoning, so they have to put nitrates in it. We have coal tar derivatives in the food, more preservatives. That's what's in the preservative to preserve the seasoning that we use that's in those shakers that we go to the store to buy, coal tar derivatives. We have lead in the water. It's not just in Flint, Michigan, in Jackson, Mississippi. It's all over the United States, especially in our communities. We have mercury, aluminum, not only in the vaccines, but also in our deodorant, in our toothpaste, in our shampoo. Just read the label. You see all these things. So you can get cancer by what you're breathing, what you're putting on your skin, what you wash your hair with, what you brush your teeth with. So, and when you consume saturated fat, cooking with olive oil, coconut oil, and consuming avocado, this causes the cells of our body to become calcified. They'll be on lockdown. No nutrients and resources will enter the cells, and the toxic and the waste inside the cell will not be released. The toxic metal inside the cell will not be able to be released. So everything is under pressure. So now you have perfect condition for cancer just spontaneous coming to existence over time. That's all they need is time. If you don't open up the cells to remove the calcification, the only way you can do it is use subatomic particle called particulates. And only cytometry is describing them today. These are the things that you have to know about and ask for or demand. So the cancer doesn't kill you. You have to get things back in compliance. Now, radiation not going to cure it. Chemotherapy is not going to cure it. Surgery is not going to cure it because cancer is a condition. You have to change the condition. That means you have to modify your diet and your lifestyle and learn how to live on this planet. These are the things that cytometry teaches. So you can make a difference with your health. And everybody has to be responsible for their own health. You can't be sick for another person. It doesn't work like that. You are responsible for your body. You have to take full responsibility. So if you're willing to do that, cancer is not a death sentence. You just need to correct your mistakes. And if you use these other methods, chemotherapy, they give you the illusion like they're doing something to help you. But that's more toxic being added, more toxic metal being added to your blood, to the cells. If you do surgery, streptococcus is going to come out again. And then we have parasites in the fruits that we're eating, in the vegetables that we're eating, parasites. There are parasites also called cancer, microbes that you cannot even see, fluke worms and other things there, because they leave their toxin in our blood. And you're not removing the toxin. You're not removing the blood impurities. So cancer have a way of coming into existence if the conditions are favorable. It's a condition that you must change, and your mindset that must be changed. If you don't change it, you keep making the same decisions, the same mistakes, there's nothing that's going to change. You have to change first. Then you need the knowledge that you need. That's very important to cure the cancer. What matters is the knowledge and the tools to reverse cell neglect and blood neglect, to repair the DNA. When you have a disease, the DNA is fragmented. Now it must be repaired if you want to cure the disease. If you don't repair it, then the disease will never be cured. You're going to die from it. And that's what the statistic is saying to us. I have them right in front of me. About 224,080 new cancer cases and 73,680 cancer deaths are expected from the African-American people in this past year, 2022. That's something wrong with that number. But nobody's going to save us, brothers and sisters. That's why we have this program to sound the alarm. We're going to have to save ourselves. No one is coming to save us. We have the knowledge that we need. We have everything inside of us to cure every disease. But if you want to keep doing things the way you're doing it, then, well, I don't know what to say. But nobody's going to come to save us. This is absolutely what's going on. So African Americans have the highest death rate and the shortest survival of any racial, ethnic group of people in the United States for most cancer. What else do you need to be told? These numbers are not going to get better. African-American women are 41% more likely to die from breast cancer than their white counterpart, despite the lower incidence of the disease. African-American women have the lowest incidence rate of the disease. But our sisters are dying more from the disease. Brothers and sisters, we are predisposed already to all of these different diseases because of the trauma of what our people have experienced living in this country, have taken effect on us. We're already predisposed. So all we need to do is now make a few mistakes, and then we have all kinds of diseases. This is what happened. We're making too many mistakes. We can't afford to make any mistakes. We have to correct our mistakes today, not wait till tomorrow, next year, or leave it up to somebody else to do it. We have to do it. And it starts with us, people on this line, people on this program. It starts with us. Mm-hmm. If our children are going to do better, we have to do better. And we all know this. Things are not working for us because we're dependent on someone else to take care of us. That day is over.
Mm-hmm.
We can get the knowledge that we need because now we have a school. We have a school. I'm in the school. Mrs. Rita is in the school. Mrs. Yvette is in the school. And we're getting the knowledge to take care of our own health. We're not dependent on the doctor. Matter of fact, when we go to the doctor, we tell the doctor what we want him to do for us. Not the other way around. We tell him what tests we won't perform. That's how we talk to the doctor, because now we have knowledge, and we advocate for ourselves. We don't just take what he says. What he gives us is not an order. He's not giving us a prescription, and we just follow it. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we are empowered with knowledge and information. We can ask them questions.
Mm-hmm.
Ask my doctor some questions. I said, chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, is that going to help me?
And he told me the truth. He said, no. So I said, well, why would I do that then? What's the point of doing that? You trying to scare me because I'm afraid to die? Well, I'm not afraid to die. I'm already mastered that, conquered that. When the time comes, I'm ready. That's how we have all to look at it. We have to be ready when our time comes. So he can't frighten me and tell me, okay, oh, you're going to die if you don't do this. Well, we'll see, because I ain't done it yet. And Dr. Naughty didn't do it. They asked him to go through radiation, surgery, and chemotherapy when he had cancer on his leg. He had basal cell carcinoma on his right leg. He cured it himself. And he's still alive. Cancer is not a death sentence, brother and sister. People live with it a long time. It's the treatment that's killing us. And I'm not afraid to say it.
Okay. I'd rather say it.
So if anyone have a question before I go off on the deep end, if you have a question, just raise your, press one on your phone, and we'll open your mic. If you have a question about anything that we've talked about. I see Mrs. Amina, Sister Amina, is with another question. I'm going to open her mic. Your mic is open, Sister Amina.
Yes, I just want to mention that I do the very same thing when I go to the doctors. You know, my primary care doctor and whatever other doctor I have to go to if I have to go. And, you know, they all know that I don't want whatever is diagnosed for me. I do not want surgery. I do not want medications. I don't want any kind of shots or what do you call it, a steroid or whatever they try to give people. You know, I don't want any of that. And I let them know that, you know, I'm not going to be.
Stand up for yourself.
Exactly. And I've done that for years. It's just that now even more so, now that I have the knowledge of symptometry to apply to my health, and I just took my afternoon particulates with my dinner. But I just wanted to say, you know, my primary care doctor knows that I, you know, don't subscribe to any of that, and she encourages it. Even if she didn't, I would still, you know, just go with natural and symptometry. I've told my primary care doctor about symptometry, you know. I'm dealing with my health proactively like I always have and kind of improving on the model because, you know, as you know, I've been diagnosed with certain things, you know, one of them being the high blood pressure and all of that, and I'm fine, you know. I just had my pressure taken, even though I have a cup at home. I had it taken at the health fair this Saturday that we had in the Masjid, and the young lady that took my pressure, she said, oh, your pressure is in a good range because, you know, being that I'm the age I am, you know, they expect you to have it high, you know.
Yes.
She said, "Oh wow, you're in good you're in a good range." I said, "Yeah, because I monitor my own health.
You're your diet, modified, and you're doing some things like you're supposed to do. And you've learned
I changed my diet a long time ago, modified it even more. But I just wanted to say that we can live and have a good quality of life managing our own health and." You know, I have lots of cancer survivors in my family, on my mom's side, you know, and I look at all of that sickness that is going on, and I let the family members that are remaining know about symptomatology. That's the best I can do. And, I let the young people, my nieces, my nephews, and all of them, you know, I give them the information about symptometry the best they can, the website and, you know, the links to the show. So
that's
the best I can do.
You're supposed to do. That is.
Salamu alaikum.
Well, we couldn't appreciate you sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, Ms.
Rita. We certainly appreciate you joining us today. You shared some excellent information, and I'm sure it was enlightening to our listener. They should start implementing. They should start doing these things, making their corrections.
Yep,
so you gave them a lot of information. Thank you.
Remember, your health is your own. It's your car. You're driving it. Don't drive it to the ditch.
I know that's right. Keep it in the road for a long time. We're here for a long haul.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You take care and you have a good evening. That was our guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor. She had another engagement. She only could spend an hour with us. We certainly appreciate her sharing her time. So you still have me, and you have my other guest, certified cinematographer, Miss Yvette Dean. She's still with us. We certainly appreciate her hanging out with us today. So if you have a question, just press 1 on your phone. We'll open your mic. Otherwise, we'll keep sharing information. You have anything else you'd like to say, Miss Yvette, about cancer? I mean, we have to just shake people up. Cancer is not a death sentence.
Just because
you got cancer, that means you're going to die. You just need to correct your mistake. Stop using cooking with olive oil. It's not the best oil to cook with. Stop letting people brainwash you.
Nope.
Don't do it.
Yep.
That oil will cause the cells to become calcified. You'd be on lockdown. Mm-hmm. The cells would be on lockdown. Health is all about taking care of our cells. It's not about us. Our mind must agree with
what
the cells need. We're teaching you what the cells need. Low fat, low sugar, low oil, low protein, low acid, low alkalinity, low everything.
And not that much food.
And that's it.
You don't need to eat a whole lot.
Exactly.
Obesity
is the cause. Is one of the causes for cancer. Obesity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid to say
it.
People are afraid to hurt people's feelings. I'm not afraid to say it. It's obesity. Is one of the causes for cancer.
That's because we don't
because
know about
you cannot cancer. Digest fat and oil.
Right.
You cannot digest protein. You're not producing the right
enzyme.
But
we don't know that. Most people don't
but
know
now
that, though.
We can tell people.
That's why we have the school. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, we can now. Now we have the school, so come on, join the school. Learn about your health. Don't depend on others to tell you about your health. We now have a place that can teach you now. So when you go to the doctor, you will be enlightened. You'll be like, nope, don't want that. Don't give me that. Nope, that's okay. That's okay. Would you take it? Ask them that question. Would you take it?
No.
Someone might just say, yeah, I take blood pressure medicine just like you, just to get you to trust them to do it. Okay?
Exactly.
But like I say, some people, it's good for it, but me particularly, no. And they are good for emergency situations. They are good for emergency situations.
Only emergency situation, trauma, to save your life.
Right.
Yeah, for a few days.
Yes.
Until you can get back to symptometry.
For a few days. Right. Exactly.
That's what they are for.
Exactly. Right. We're not badgering. Right. We're not badgering them. We're not talking about them. No, because they are good. They are good for some things. But some things, no, they're not.
No, they're not good for healing.
Long-term care, they're not. Long-term
care,
they're
not.
We
all know this. We all know this. We have seen too many of our people under that care, that sick care, and we have seen what happens to them. Now, if we think it's going to change for us, no, it's not. We have to use something different. We have to do something different if we want different results. And we should be demanding
it.
That's what should happen.
That's it. Yeah. And if you want to beat cancer, right.
Mm-hmm.
We should demand it. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And if you want to beat cancer, if you have it or know a loved one that has it, you know, if they want to beat cancer, symptomatology recommends that you do root cause treatment. That you forgive all those who hurt you in the past It's important to have a good state of mind when you're beating cancer. So those who have hurt you, those boyfriends and those past exes that we all have had in the past and have all hurt us in the past, we have to forgive them. We have to release that negative energy in our body.
Absolutely.
And just let it go. You know, we have to just let it go. We have to have positive energy, you know, and associate with ourselves with people who are radiant, who have positive energy. You know, if we want to beat cancer, we have to eat and live scientifically, you know, from now on. You know, they give us, what, a five-year turnaround if you do chemo. That's if you do chemo, you got 5 years.
Yes.
That don't mean that it's cancer. You got 5 years. No, that's because after you done got burnt up with all this other stuff, they gonna give you 5 years. And them doing them five years, they gonna say, "Oh, you in remission," just to give you hope. But they know it's gonna come back. Why? Because it's gonna come back because you haven't changed nothing about scientific living. You ain't did nothing in your house. You ain't changed the way you ate. Okay, how you expect for it to stay away if you ain't changed nothing in your life? If you ain't forgive those who have hurt you, you know, if you ain't let go of that negative energy, you can't, you know, heal in that way.
You're not.
You know?
Absolutely correct.
Pent up anger, you know, like, oh, I want to teach him a lesson because he hurt me. We all done did it. We all done said it.
Yes.
You know,
forgive
he hurt
forward.
Me and I'm going to get him back.
Forgive your parents.
So
forgive
we got to let it go.
They have already forgotten about you.
Right. We still holding grudges, right? We still mad, and, you know, and everything. We got to let go all that.
Let it go.
And just, you know, live. We got to have a
life is
state
too precious.
Of mind to want to heal. Too precious.
Absolutely.
You know?
Too precious. Life
too
is too precious. You're worried about something in the past. Let it go, people. You have to. It's part of the healing process. Then find somebody that
That's
loves you, that nurture you. You need nurturing. Someone who wants the best outcome for you. Don't hang out with negative people. Who are nosy and want to know everything, but they're not willing to help you and encourage you. You have to change the people that you're around or change the people you're around. That's what has to happen if you want to heal from cancer. This is very important. What you said, Ms. Yvette, is very important. You have to forgive people and move forward because you'll be carrying a negative energy and you will never heal. You can do everything else correctly, but if you don't forgive, no healing is going to take place. Negative energy, too much friction, tension, resistance, and all of these things. Even though
That's
it was traumatizing, you survived it, move on, forgive the person. Don't hold that negativity in. Release it, and you'll be better off.
Yeah.
And you're smart enough,
hard.
Come to Symptomagy, get your certified Symptomagy Health course to work with you. That's what has to happen sometimes. You need somebody to help you to build a network of support. That's what the health course can do for you. Become a network of support. We can cure our disease, and this is what we have to do. It's our responsibility to do it. Once we cure the disease, we take it out of our gene pool. We don't keep passing it on to people coming after us like it was passed on to us, these diseases. We take it out of the gene pool once we cure it. This is what we have the ability to do. This is why we should all work towards being disease-free, free of diseases.
Free.
Yes, that's what freedom is all about.
We don't have to live with aches and pains anymore. We don't have to live with aches and pains.
Don't
we don't have to have hip surgery. We don't have to have knee surgery. Our liver's not producing cartilages. Sometimes we can help you with that. We can just unjam it, unclog it, and you start producing the cartilage that you have been having in your younger days.
Absolutely.
Because this is the food we've been eating has jammed the liver, that part of the liver. That's all that is. Your fingers hurting, your fingers is bent. Just get it uncongested. That's all with particulates and molecules.
That's right.
That's it. And there's some things that we can also do, you know, like
you know, don't sleep with cell phones in our rooms. You know, turn off
exactly.
the TV. Really don't
sleep
have
in
one in the room if you can. Sleep in the dark.
Take the TV
right.
out of the bedroom. Don't have it there.
Right.
That's what you have to
Make
do.
Your
you
own
have to sacrifice to have good health.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
This is
no, you have
hand
to eat
raised.
Green.
We're going to go
okay.
to the hand that's raised.
Okay.
Maybe they have an interesting question for us. 914-886. Your mic is open.
Assalamualaikum.
Well, I got Salam.
This is Sister Hadia. Alhamdulillah.
How are you
well.
Doing, Sister Hadia?
Good. I'm
ah,
fine. Alhamdulillah. Good. I have a couple of things I'd like to include in the conversation. One thing is that negative energy that we carry around by not being able to forgive, and then we try to forget, but you can't forget because your memory will always remind you because you have a memory
yes.
that's the purpose of the memory. So that if you engage in some type of negative energy, you can forgive that person, but you can't forget because you have to avoid engaging in that energy again because if you don't, you will continue to carry this negative energy with you and experience
yes.
negative energy towards you. So you really have to remember what you engaged in. You can't forget. You could forgive. But to avoid
Absolutely.
Engaging in this behavior of abuse from outside and of yourself, you have to remember so you don't engage in it again. And another thing, I can't accept forgiveness again. I can't accept also the fact that people want to say treat others as you want to be treated. No, I don't want you to treat me the way you want to be treated. I want to be treated the way I want to be treated. I might not accept how you want to be treated. It might not be the best.
Absolutely.
You might be a self-abuser and not realizing. You might be engaging in abuse and not realizing it. So don't treat me the way you want to be treated. Treat me the way I want to be treated. And secondly, I just want to talk about the particulars that I've taken since I've been in, under Dr. Norley and Brother Saheed instructions. When I first came, I had eye pain, and I was diagnosed with glaucoma, and I had these floaters that I would think a bug was flying past me, and I kept on swatting because I thought it was a bug flying past me, and I would swat. And I realized it wasn't a bug, it was these floaters. But now that I've been taking
right.
the particulars, I no longer have the floaters. I'm not swatting.
Alhamdulillah.
It's something that's not in existence, and I don't have the eye pain anymore.
Excellent.
So I'm very thankful for that.
Excellent. All diseases are curable. We didn't lie when we say that. It's up to the person. It doesn't mean it's worked like magic. There's a lot of work involved. You have to modify your diet, modify your lifestyle, and learn some science and live on this planet scientifically. Every disease is curable. We have everything inside of us to cure every disease. We're not lying. We're telling the truth. So the person comes to symptometry. They have to ask questions, clear up all their doubts, their skepticism, and all these things. That's negative energy, the friction, the tension. All these things will prevent the person from healing. Once you make up your mind to give the cells what they need and you are determined to cure your disease, you have to be determined to cure the disease. All our cells need is an intent, and they know how to do everything. They are gifted with atomic intelligence. They know how to figure things out if they have the resources and the nutrient to work with. And this is what symptometry has discovered. And that's why you were able to reverse your condition. And then you have other conditions, and we all do, and we'll keep reversing them till they're all gone. And then now we have the knowledge to keep maintaining our body, maintaining the health, and not making the same mistakes we made before. We're not supposed to have a disease. That's not normal. Normal is health. Sickness and disease is abnormalcy. Just the reverse. So if you have an abnormal situation from a disease, it is our responsibility to put things back to normalcy. Otherwise, the disease will become more and more chronic. This is what happens. So we certainly appreciate and thank you for sharing the excellent results that you're getting, and just keep working hard and keep getting smarter and smarter. And as you hang around people that's in cytometry health coaches and all that, you're going to get more little tips that will help you to take to reverse pain. Cytometry have a lot of reverse technique, things that you can do every day that will continue to improve your health and continue to reverse things. And see, we don't know everything. That's why we keep learning. We have to have a mind to be open to keep learning. And that's the encouragement of the students at the American School of Cytometry. There's a bottomless pit there for us with knowledge. So we have to learn from the cradle to the grave. We all know this. So now we have a school where we can just keep learning and keep learning and keep learning about all of the different booger traps that's on planet Earth here, and we'll fall into them if we don't know better. But we must remember that we are created to live on this planet. We have everything that it takes.
Yes.
Now we have somebody to help us put it all together.
The sister was saying that she shares her information to and let people know what website to go to. Well, I try to do the same thing as well as, you know, referring people to the Brother Shaheed, the Sister Yvette, but Dr. Naughty and the Monday cast. And
yes,
it's up to them to really engage in it. Yeah. But I don't have any problem with telling someone that, no, I don't eat this and I don't eat that. I'm not going to eat that.
I
cook it this way and I eat it that way. You know, so I don't have any problem telling
They look at you funny,
that.
Right? they look at you
funny. I don't care how they look at
me.
I'm like, no, I'm not going there. you shouldn't
I know
eat
that's
that.
Right.
That's not good for you. You know, so I don't have any problems going there. My concern is that I'm in an environment where I could do that right now, and I might be hungry outside. And I have to wait till I get home to eat something that I don't want to buy. There's nothing in the street I can buy. But I'm concerned that when I do go, like I'm traveling to New York, and I might not have that accessibility to, you know, my crock pot and, you know, my
yes,
oven. And,
we understand.
You know, I don't know if this is
but don't stress out over. That's why you have the reverse technique. We have the formula A16B, and there are things that you can select and choose that won't hurt yourself as much, and you just be smart about it. And this is how you do it. You get advice from us when you're on the road as what you can do, and then we just keep it moving.
We also have particulates that will help you when you do go to places that you can't eat scientifically. You don't have your pots and you can't cook it, you know, the way you want to. We can come to cytometry. We have those particulates that will keep you on your path of scientific eating. You just take them about 30 minutes after you eat the bad foods, okay? And then you will be okay. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
You'll still be on the same path.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's
I'll
the reverse technique.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. We certainly appreciate it. When I got to press 1 on your phone, and we can mute your mic and open it for another person. If anyone have a question or comment, just press 1 on your line. We'll open your mic, and we certainly appreciate you sharing with us and asking questions. It helps us to evaluate how well are we doing, helping people and the information that we shared. We hope it's useful. So if you have a question, just press 1 on your phone. We have a good 30 minutes left in our program, and I think we've had an interesting program thus far. Ms. Yvette, what do you think?
Yes. It's going great. Going great. We have people asking questions and wanting to know a little bit more about their health, and if they really want to know even more, join the American School of Cytometry so you can be aware of your health. You won't be one of those who don't know about your own health. That doesn't feel good, not to know, you know, why you got diabetes or why you got high blood pressure or why this bump came up in the middle of the night and I didn't have it yesterday. But it came today. But what happened? At least you will know what happened, you know, because, I mean, our bodies are dynamic. They're very dynamic. And we go through different
thing, even though we're on symptoms, you still get a symptom now.
Get a symptom.
But you cured that symptom before it turns into a disease. Okay, that's what it's all about. Because we can walk outside and come back home and get a symptom because it's something that we breathe outside.
Breathe.
You know, mm-hmm. something we walk past a car and we breathe some carcinogens or something out there. You know, cigarette
right.
smoke or cigar smoke, and now we're coming home and we have some problems breathing. But just let Coach Shahid know, and he can help you nip that in the bud real quick. Real quick.
Exactly.
Okay?
Don't just real ignore quick. It. Don't ignore it.
But if it keeps coming back, don't ignore it. That's your body way of telling you, hey, pay me attention. You know,
I need some help
walk
here.
Around and
please
we ignore
give me some help.
Something. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, you get a pain in your side, it goes away, great. Woo. But if it come back a week later, you'd be like, uh-oh, it came
gotta
back.
Do something about that.
Uh-oh, let me take care of that real quick before it turns into something else. That's the
absolutely.
Key. It could be your liver just congested from them peanuts you ate a couple of weeks ago, right? It could be something congested in there. So we got to ionize that out, okay?
Yes.
It could be cyanide from that popcorn you ate at the movies. That's bothering
exactly.
your cells. Okay? You got to ionize it out. Okay? So that's what we do here at Symptometry. We help you heal and we give you knowledge to prevent future. That's what other medical fields
protect
don't
yourself.
Do. They don't give you knowledge.
Mm-mm.
They don't give you that knowledge that you need so you will not have reoccurrence. That's the difference.
Absolutely. Big difference.
That
they don't empower you to do anything for yourself.
Right. That'll make me run quick. Like, oh, that's different. Let me try this thing. That's different. No one ever told me the nuts have cyanide. I've been eating cashews and cocktail peanuts all my life. You mean I've been poisoning myself? You mean I've been
causing yourself?
Oh, my goodness.
Enzyme?
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't know we wasn't supposed to eat salad. I didn't know that, but they promote it on TV.
Exactly.
Whenever there's a diet, eat salad. Whenever you want to lose weight, eat salad. No. Whatever they tell you to do, do the opposite.
Exactly, because they want you sick. They want to make money.
Do the opposite.
Sickness is big business.
Yes.
That's no money in being healthy.
Every time you... That's right. No, there's no money in being healthy. You're right.
No you money in being
healthy,
healthy they don't need you. They need you sick all the time, coming back and forth to them. So it's all about
let's
business. That part of medicine is business.
That's it.
Repeat business.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
No.
That's
I want to go once or twice a year, and that's
new.
It.
That's
once
that's
or twice
it.
A year. It's good
just
enough.
Just to get the blood
do your
work.
Numbers. Exactly. Get my numbers.
That's
let me
it.
Go.
That's it.
They're excellent at doing
right.
that.
I
they're excellent
no
at doing numbers.
Give me your numbers.
Right. They're excellent at doing diagnosis and doing reports, labs, and all that. They're excellent. Get all of that done. Then bring the results to Symptometry. Let's look at it together. That's what you have
let's,
to do. You have to take charge. Take charge
that's
of your
right.
health, because if you do not, nobody else is responsible for you. And everybody have that in their mind that they're not responsible. If I tell you something, it's
mm-hmm.
on you. No, we have become more and more responsible. That's
we
what
have
we have to do.
Have
since
to.
Nobody else is asking a question, I see Miss Sister Amina have another question. We're going to let her come in and make some comments or ask her a question. Assalamu alaikum, Miss Sister Anita. Amina.
Wa alaikum salam. I just wanted to mention again now two things. I'm saying about my dental, and I know you mentioned that some dentists that are working with Symptometry, please give that attention in the future, you know, as far as dental care and Symptometry. And I know that there's certain things that we need to do with our dental, and everybody's dental diagnosis is different. And also, I'm about to go for my checkup and my primary care doctor June 12th, which is not too far away. And that's the same thing I'm going to do. You know, I always have, I have a few questions I always just kind of ask my doctor.
Excellent.
I have a wonderful African-American primary care doctor, very, very compassionate, thorough, and professional. She's excellent. And, you know, she'll ask me sometimes, you still on? you know, those, because she knows that I've always done herbs and symptometry, you know, ever since I told her about it when I first found out. And I'm always improving my health, you know, but you know, she'll tell me whatever is going on, you know, they'll do blood work. They give me a complete workup every time, time I get a checkup. So I'm definitely going to do that. And I go also to get my numbers. I get my numbers, you know, I already know. I have a blood pressure cuff here at home that I take my pressure. But, you know, they always check my cholesterol and my, you know, my BMI and all this other, you know, body mass index and my weight all of that. So, you know, I kind of know, but I just wanted to mention that. And also, I'm about to see about foot care, podiatry. So could you touch on that? And I'll hang up and listen because I'm trying to get my health from head to toe. I'm working little by little on getting it optimally helpful and
that's
healthy.
That's what we want to do.
You know,
because when we have our health,
I'm sincere about that.
We have our brain. Yes.
Because I'm trying to change the paradigm of kind of bad health in my family of origin. I, you know, nobody in my family is healthy, and I want to be the one that kind of change the paradigm. And I've been telling my my sons and daughters, you know, for years that we have to, our health is our wealth. They're all grown and on their own now, but the point is that I'm still on that path of trying to stay healthy, and I want a good quality of life.
Absolutely.
Because since I'm a certain age, I don't have to be sick, decrepit, falling over, and you know.
No, you don't.
Sick.
No, you don't.
So that's what I wanted to say. Salaamu alaikum.
Excellent. You want to mention something, Miss Yvette, about circulation all the way down to our toes and the streptococcus? If we don't follow the pH rules, what will happen to us?
It's important to follow the pH rule. And, you know, you ask, what is the pH rule? The pH rule is like our body is a certain pH. We have our organs are a certain pH, but our bodies are, 7.2 pH.
Yes.
But if we drink things that are acidic, okay, that's going to lower the pH. And when we lower the pH, the streptococcus comes along and investigates, well, what happened? Why is the pH lowered? What did we do? What happened? So you don't want streptococcus to come invade because that can cause cancer.
Yes.
That can cause cancer. We want to stay away from the pH enforcer, which is streptococcus. We want to stay away from him. Okay?
So our blood is circulated with speed. And we also need to be careful of fungus everywhere. Fungus is in our bathroom. It's in our house. It's everywhere. It's not just out there in the trees. And when you go out there and dig in the dirt, fungus is airborne. It's everywhere. And so if we get a fungus in us, we need to definitely come to symptometry. and have it removed. It take a lot of work to remove fungus. And this is why people know different colors, toenail changing color, fingernail changing colors, hair falling out, all these things. Fungus.
Mm-hmm.
And then microbes are smart. Mm-hmm. They'll live within the fungus and they'll hide. So the doctor not detecting them. They do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so now we have to remove the fungus to get to the bacteria and those others things that's hiding in us, microbes. These things that we have
and
to
we
know, sometimes you have what it takes to ionize these things out of our body to remove them. And everything that's in our body, not supposed to be there, is going to release toxins. And they're going to release their waste inside of our blood. That's where it's going to be. So it'll be slowing the blood down. If blood is slowed down, or you have concretion and all this junk, garbage everywhere, now when in the different extremities, the fingernails and toenails will not have blood. If blood is not circulating there, there won't be oxygen. And we will have a problem.
Yes. And be careful what we brush our teeth with. No baking soda. We don't want to brush our teeth with
baking
soda.
No salt. Yes.
You know, they say, oh, baking soda freshens your breath. No, no, it doesn't. It may, but it's also changing your pH in your mouth.
Yes.
So we don't want streptococcus to come in your mouth when your pH lowers. We don't want to gargle with, say, oh, you have a sore throat. Gargle with salt. You don't want to gargle with salt.
Nope.
No,
right
that change that lowers your pH. We don't want to. We have to keep our body at 7.0. So salt water, baking soda, we need to stay away from. Even
mouthwash,
when we cook with baking soda.
So burning mice,
mouthwash.
Can't use it.
Yes.
To alkaline.
Nope. Why your breath stinks? You have to get to the reason why your breath stinks. We don't need mouthwash.
Yes. Don't need it.
I said, we don't need it. People, they put mouthwash out there because they say people breath stink. That's why they make mouthwash. But why your breath stinks? Is something
you
in your body that's
cause.
Exposing odor? You got to go to that cause of why it stinks.
Yes.
Right?
Garbage
what's in my body?
Garbage has been removed.
Right.
Come to
some country, get your blood clean. Yes. Get ionized and remove the garbage that's in there.
Yes.
So you don't need mouthwash. We don't need mouthwash. So if we take care of our mouth, our teeth will be healthy.
Yes.
Our teeth will be healthy. We go to the dentist, which I've recently been to the dentist, you know, from over the years of me eating bad food. You know, I recently been to the dentist, but what did I do? I called symptometry. I got symptometry antibiotics. I didn't want to take their antibiotics.
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
I used symptometry antibiotics, and my teeth was hurting. That knocked that pain out before I even had my dentist appointment. It knocked it out, the pain on particulates. Knocked that pain out of my tooth. I didn't have to go get oral gel and change the pH in my mouth. No. Besides, that stuff doesn't work anywhere. At least for me, it don't.
No, it doesn't work.
it doesn't work. No. No.
And you don't need the painkiller they give you. You don't need the antibiotic they give you. You don't need it. Your own body produces pain mitigators. Your own body produces antibiotic. You just need a little help from you.
And what he did was help my body to produce the pain. The antibiotics that he gave me helped my own painkillers produce it and stop my pain. That's what it did. It boosts my pain producers up. It boosts it up so it can stop hurting until I got to the dentist. It was amazing.
Absolutely.
I was amazed. Amazed.
That's how it works.
But I had to get that out of there. But that's how it works.
Yes.
That's how you would be amazed. You would be amazed.
now you're more healthy now because of that.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
And I know how to take care of my mouth now. Okay,
exactly.
So another cavity won't come because now I know how.
Yes,
that's been there for many years.
We didn't know better, so we had those cavities.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a question, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic. And we've been talking about cancer. The mega truth about cancer, Cancer is not a death sentence. The cause of cancer is the lack of oxygen in the cells. The lack of oxygen in the cells. Our cell must have oxygen. Oxygen is the life sustainer. It sustains life. Every cell of our body, all 75 trillion of them, must have oxygen. But if the cells are on lockdown, even as oxygen and hemoglobin is circulating in the blood, it won't be in the cells. And then if you have garbage circulating in the blood and blood impurities, and it's going to be slowed down, and still the cell will not be nourished with what's in the blood. The blood carries our nutrients and resources for the cell to produce everything that's supposed to keep us healthy. When they cannot do that, when they cannot clean themselves, they cannot regulate themselves, they cannot renew themselves, then they will send a sign called symptoms. They'll sound the alarm. They'll sound the alarm system to warn us that they need our help. This is what the symptoms are about. Symptom is not the disease. So that's what your doctor would be treating. He'd be treating the symptom. He won't be going to the source. Every disease have a product that produced it. They have a source. Symptometrists study the sources of disease. Your doctor studied disease, but we studied the source of the disease. Remove the source, and the disease will become history because the cell will remove the disease. They have to be fully engaged. We don't have cancer because we didn't have enough chemotherapy in our blood. We didn't have cancer because we didn't have enough radiation. What kind of sense is that? We don't have cancer because we didn't have surgery. We had got cancer because we didn't have oxygen in the cells. And we had blood impurities circulating everywhere. And we had toxic metal.
And we were eating things, doing things that was wrong.
Yes.
We were microwaving with plasticware.
Yes.
With styrofoams, you know.
And standing in
we
front of
holding,
the microwave
and
the
microwave. Yeah. We sleep with the cell phone near our head. You know,
yes.
we go and get radiation and all this stuff and we just have to prepare. We have to learn to avoid cancer. See, this
yes.
is what symptometry teaches you. It teaches you do's and don'ts of cancer. Do's and don'ts.
Absolutely.
Of cancer.
Do's and don'ts. Important to follow the rules. Don't walk on your hardwood floor bare feet. Have formaldehyde residue will enter your body. Don't lay on your sofa without something covering your skin. It has bromine. It is more healthy to take a shower than a bath because the bathtub is lined with bromine. These things are toxic. They're toxic everywhere.
Yes.
Man-made chemicals, natural chemicals, everywhere.
Especially us women. Especially us women.
Yes.
We have to protect our private parts. So we don't want to
yes.
take baths. Take a shower and
shower.
Make sure no soap gets inside of there, okay?
Exactly.
You know, we got to be
pH.
Careful. Then we'll change the pH down there. We don't want streptococcus down there. No, we don't. So we got to stay away from baths. They didn't tell us that. They didn't
Absolutely.
Tell us that. That what they make bathtubs with. And we're sitting in there and we put our bubbles in there and our
yeah.
bubble bath
Soaking
fragrance, all that
there,
is
not
acidic.
Knowing what's going on.
Yeah, we mess with our private parts down there, messing our stuff up. I wonder we have
yes.
so many yeast infections and all kind of infections down there because we were never taught. These are the things that you learn from symptometry, root cause
Absolutely.
Therapeutics, from American School of Symptometry. These are things that you learn. You learn how to protect your health, okay? You learn how to protect your health. Take a class or two, you know,
yes.
just to see what you learn. You know, you may learn something enlightening that you want to just keep going because it's so
Absolutely.
Interesting. Like, wow, I never knew this. I'm so glad to be enlightened now. When I go to the store, I know what to avoid. When I go to the doctor, I know what to avoid.
Absolutely.
I'm now my own health
you go to
advocate.
The dentist,
I'm
you know
my
what
own
to
health
avoid.
Advocate. Exactly. 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 Okay? Exactly. Exactly.
Don't put that toxic metal in your mouth. Those shiny things.
Right.
They're not supposed to be in your mouth. gold,
nope,
platinum,
don't get
all those
silver fillings.
That's supposed to be in your mouth.
Exactly. And have your dentist put white fillings in your mouth. Don't do the silver ones anymore. You know,
exactly.
We don't need those silver ones. If you got silver ones in your mouth, have them taken out and put white composite ones in there.
You'll never be healthy.
Remove them.
You'll never be healthy.
That's right. Remove them silver ones that they used back in the day.
Yes.
Now I don't think they use them anymore, but some dentists do. Just to be health conscious, you know, take them out and have them put the white fillings in if you have any silver in your mouth, any silver.
Absolutely.
And these young people who walk around with these grills in their mouth, they think they're cool.
Exactly.
They're changing
their
pH. They're giving their body heavy metals and all kind of stuff. Yes. Yes. And it's terrible. It's terrible, but we're learning.
Maybe.
We're learning. You're coming to the show. You're listening. So you want to learn. You want to learn, and that's a good thing. It's a good
Absolutely.
Thing to always come to the show and listen because you might learn something new, something that will help you, your family, you know, to use something natural instead of something or run to Walgreens and get chemicals. You know, you can use something natural.
I know that's right.
You know, so it's a wonderful thing to come to the show every week, a wonderful thing. You may learn something new and may be encouraged to join the school and learn even more. We're only touching on just a little bit, a pinpoint of
yes, knowledge.
Yes,
scratching the surface, preparing you to learn even more.
Even more. Can you believe there's
yes.
more? There's
plenty
more
for this great prize.
Yes.
Plenty more for us
to
learn. Yes. So we can change a few minds, change the mindset, and then make
yes.
it where you ask the right question, and you get the right answer. The mind must
yes.
agree with what our cells need. Then we can get our, we have an opportunity to get our health back. And also be empowered with new knowledge that you can share with your friends, your family, your associates, all these things. And you'll be feeling good about yourself that now you have something
yes.
that's more valuable. What is more valuable
yes.
than knowledge to keep our health intact? There's nothing more
yes.
valuable than that.
Nothing.
The
nothing.
Almighty created us
and
to live,
like
not to die.
Sick. That's
right.
right. No one likes to be sick. No one likes to be
no.
sick. When you're sick, you can't
I have
do
never
nothing.
Seen one sick person with a smile on their face.
Nope. Nope. Because you're always feeling bad. You know,
right.
you don't like being sick. No one likes being sick.
No one.
You know? So you get rid of that sickness quick before it turns into a disease. That's the key. Address it quickly. Quickly. If it comes back,
okay,
if it comes
we have
back,
another hand raised,
back.
Miss Yvette. We have one
oh,
hand
great.
Raised. We got a few minutes left. We have 347. Your mic is opening.
Yes. Yes. I'm very thankful for the wisdom and knowledge you've given out on health. Let me ask you something. From my listening, I'm hearing that when the body doesn't have the proper oxygen, that's what causes diseases. Is there anywhere that I can get oxygen into the body?
Yes, what we have to do, see, here's the thing about oxygen. Oxygen we have in the air we breathe, we have oxygen
mm-hmm.
in the food we eat, and we have oxygen
mm-hmm.
in the water we drink. But still, it would be many places in the person's body that would not have oxygen. And the question is, why?
Say that again. It's, what did you say about the places in the body? What did you just say? I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll repeat that. I said, here's the question we have to have the answers to. There's oxygen in the air we breathe. There's oxygen in the food we eat. And there's oxygen in the water that we drink. But in a human body, there will be many places that will not have oxygen. Why is that?
You have wisdom. I'm asking the question. I don't know.
Okay. Now, I just want you to think for a moment. Here's the answer. Oxygen does not circulate freely in the human body. We must have pathways to enter the cell. If those pathways are collapsed, oxygen will not be able to go into the cell. So the pathway must be rebuilt, and syntometry is able to rebuild the pathway. Also, that's what's circulating in our red blood cell. It's called hemoglobin, iron-rich blood. It is the iron that attaches the oxygen in the red blood cell called hemoglobin. That's how our cells are able to get the oxygen, but it must enter in pathways so the cell will have oxygen. Now, if those pathways are collapsed based on the food that the person is eating, they're eating food with toxin, impurities circulating in their blood, the blood will be too slow and too much garbage everywhere. Those things must be ionized. And the red blood cell must be nourished in the red bone marrow.
I'm sorry, good brother. When you say ionized, how does that work?
In order to ionize the impurities from the blood, you must use subatomic particles. They're called particulates. It is syntometry that uses them. You get the particulates that you need, and it will sanitize the impurities that's circulating in your blood. Every time we eat food, there's impurities that's left behind in our blood. We leave debris, and if we do not have all the enzymes needed to digest the food, there'll be a lot of garbage left, food residue. There'll become growth factors for microbes to feed on. All these things that's part of the maintenance process that we have to be engaged in.
So what happens is the body needs a cleansing from all the garbage left in the food?
Yeah, exactly. By using those subatomic particles. Not herbs, not drugs.
Right.
Must be subatomic particles.
What do you think about the black seed oil?
Well, it has its advantage. The thing that the black seed oil has are the essential fatty acids. That's it. Health is very complicated.
It's a hot dish that'll cure every illness except death.
Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Health is very complex. There's no silver bullet for health. There's many different things that the person must know about in order to be healthy. Not one thing. Now, I just explained the benefit of the black
thing is, but one other thing, what about the drinking the 8 glasses of water, because water flushes the body. Many years ago, I had read a hadith that said God has given the believer abundance of water to drink, and that's back in the 80s. And next thing I know, over the years, they put water in the refrigerators at the stores, and I drink a lot of water. I drink about two quarts, and maybe a little bit every day. I specialize in the black seed oil. I used to sell it for about 20 years. And it strengthens the immune system.
Yes.
Remember what I told you about the upside of things?
Yes.
Okay? They tell you about the good things of certain products. But there's also a downside.
I know about the black seed oil and water.
But there's a downside of black seed oil. See, that's what you don't know about. That's what psychometry teaches you, the downside of products. We hear wheatgrass is good for you. You know, we hear other things are good for you. Yeah, we hear that they're good for you. They say it's good, but are they telling you the downside of them? No, they're not. They want you to buy it. They want you to sell it. But there is a downside.
I sold it because I knew it was good, and I still distribute it. A lot of times I send it to my friends for halfway for free. I really appreciate how God is inside you.
Yes, and we certainly appreciate you asking the question. It has its benefit. And we're right out of time. We're at the top of the hour. We have another program that comes on immediately after me. I don't want to take up their time. The program, Maya Ali.
Thank you so much. Each and every one of yours.
Yeah, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We certainly appreciate it. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Ms. Yvette, we're right at the top of the hour. We're going to have to go.
Okay.
Make our Easter out of here. We certainly appreciate you joining us today.
All right.
We look forward to next week for some excellent topic we'll be sharing with our listeners. So we're going to give our contact information, and we're going to make our exit. We were right out of time. So please go to the website of the American School of Syntometry, and that website is amsos.org. We also have a program on Tuesday. The program is called The Science of Health and You. Please join us from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time by dialing 714-816-4673. And also, please join us again next week on AM 360 for a new episode of Optimal Health. We certainly appreciate you joining us today. And our contact information is 678-572-7269. If you have a need to talk to a certified symptomatology health coach, and our email address is ashaheed2@gmail.com. We'd like to give everyone a greeting of peace, and we definitely thank our guests for joining us today, Mrs. Rita Taylor and Ms. Yvette Dean, both certified symptomatology health coaches. We appreciate their effort to help us today. And we greet everyone with the greeting of peace. Well, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة الله وسلامه ورحمته وبركاته على صفوة الخلق سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ورحمة الله ومغفرته على تابعين وتابعين بإحسان إلى يوم الدين والسلام على إمام ورث دين والسلام علينا وعلى عباده الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون We seek refuge in Allah from Satan the accursed and we declare openly that there is none worthy of worship or praise except Allah who is unique without any associate whatsoever We bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Allah calls our attention in the Quran. And he says, Seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed, and we begin with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise him, we seek his aid, and we humbly ask that the prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings be upon his noble messenger, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings be upon all of his illustrious companions together, and all his family members who followed him in purification. We ask the forgiveness of Allah and mercy upon the followers and their followers in excellence to the day of judgment. And we humbly ask Allah to establish his peace as well as his mercy upon Imam Dr. Waruthuddin Muhammad. And we ask Allah to establish peace amongst ourselves and the righteous servants of Allah. No matter where we may be, no matter where we may be from, and to all of that we say Ameen. I hope they bear witness that there is none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique without any associate whatsoever. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Allah calls our attention in the Quran and he says, O ye who have obtained true faith, be mindful of Allah and fear him with a rational fear. And let every person consider what they send out for tomorrow and be mindful of Allah, fearing him rationally, for surely he is aware of everything that you do. Dear brothers and sisters, we want to welcome you to tonight's edition of Ma'iyah al-Kuli Hal. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz, and we're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. And we're happy to have you here with us this evening. We are on the heels of a very productive weekend. NBC had their conference. And well, before we get into that, let's start as we usually start by asking all of you, after we're giving you the greetings of Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, we want to begin by asking you, as always, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of the twin servant, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam. And we also ask you to do so on behalf of his family and on behalf of Imam Khalifa Ramadan and his family. We also ask you to do so on behalf of Imam Vernon Farid and his family, Imam Ibrahim Pasha and his family, Imam Agent Muhammad and his family, Imam Qasim Ahmed and his family, Imam Farouk Abdul Wali and his family, Imam Rafiq Rasul and his family. We also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Abdul Majid Kareem Hassan and his family. Al-Hajj Lawrence Shaheed, we ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Delilah Shaheed, Sister Al-Hajj Fajr Tyson, Sister Doreen Muhammad, Sister Robin Muhammad. We ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Al-Hajj Rabina LeBron and her family as well. And we also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Sister Aisha, the wife of our dear brother Imam Abdul Kareem Abdul Hamid, who just celebrated a birthday. We want to wish him a happy birthday. And we want to continue by asking you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of all of those who we did not mention that you may know of. And we ask Allah to bless us and them to be able to stand up to whatever he puts in front of us. And to that, we say Ameen. So tonight, dear brothers and sisters, we are on the heels of NNBC. We're also on the heels of a wonderful weekend that we had in relationship to the annual AIDS Walk in New York City, which was a huge turnout. And from the looks of things, NNBC was a success, and the AIDS Walk was a success. We didn't see a lot of our people there, but mashallah, we did see there's a lot more work that needs to be done. But tonight what we want to do, dear brothers and sisters, we want to bring on our guest. Sister Saida LaFontaine, and she wants to, we want to have her speak with us and give us an update on what it looked like yesterday and what the numbers were and so on and so forth, and some whatever else she has to offer us this evening. I did accompany them. I was honored to be amongst them yesterday. It was a wonderful crowd. But I'll let the dear sister speak it out to you or share with you what took place yesterday from her perspective. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. My name is Saida LaFontaine. I'm here with you tonight to report on how the AIDS Walk was in New York City for Sunday, May 21st. So every year for the last 27 years, I participate in this walk, and I've been participating in it for the 27 years that I've been living with HIV. And not only for my status, I also walk for my mother as well, too, as she passed in 2005 from, she was a drug, IV drug user. So I always have her, and I'm always mindful to work for her as well. And so this year I had all of those who were important to me to walk with me. I wasn't alone this year. I started off years ago walking by myself. Last year I had six people, some of my siblings and a couple of associates. And this year I'm in a different space. Allah allowed me to be in a different space around different people. He removed a lot of people from my life and put other people in my life. So those people who are a part of, in which I am now a part of, Masters Adam, I had my new family walk with me. I had my brothers and sisters. I had my brother come down from Albany and have other siblings come. Their children came, a couple of associates from my Harlem neighborhood. They came in and joined. And it was just a wonderful day. The weather was great by Allah's permission. And we just came out and we enjoyed the weather. We enjoyed the walking. It was good exercise for those who don't do it on a regular basis. And the scenery is good. The only thing that I would say is that it's just not enough of us. Black people, Muslim people, it's just not enough of us that's out there doing the work. And I make a small portion. There are people I saw along the way, some people that I've had from the previous doctors I've had that now have retired, the good doctors, the good black doctors that were, you know, taking care of us black people, they have all returned, they're all retired and wherever, and now we have to search to get other doctors. Those patients where I shared the doctors with, they were there. They still were doing advocacy and wherever they live at. You had, you know, other people who are in Harlem or Brooklyn who still do the advocacy work, just like myself, but it's not enough of us that's out there doing it. So I got an update. I reached out to the CEO. So basically the AIDS Walk is hosted by Gay Men's Health Crisis, GMAC, and that is an organization that's here in New York City, in Lower Manhattan. And the AIDS Walk is held every year in Central Park, and it's the world's largest HIV and AIDS fundraising event ever. And yesterday was the 38th annual AIDS Walk. There were 10,000 people in the park, and they raised $2,102,534 within the tri-state, and that was amongst HIV and AIDS services and individuals who raised money, I included. The walk started at 10 a.m. Prior to that, there was a four-mile run that began at 9 a.m., which was the first implement that they've done in the 27 years that I've participated. They've had this first-time four-mile run before we started the AIDS Walk. And the AIDS Walk was started at 10 a.m., and it was also a four-mile walk. This year and last year, they cut it down prior to COVID. Prior to COVID, the walk was always a six-mile walk. So when they cut it down, for me as a walker, I was a little disappointed, but Allah Akbar, that I'm able to still be able to participate and walk. I just say it just needs to be Gay Men's Health Crisis need to have a little more other black people involved in this event. Things need to be changed in my standpoint, and more of us need to come out. It's not, you know, either collectively, either we have our own nonprofits, our own services. We need to be out there, and we need to represent our own people. And we need to just get out there. And other than that, it's, you know, I will continue by Allah's permission as long as I'm in great health, in good and great health to be out there. I will continue to walk. I create a team based on my mother and I's first name. So my team name was Brenda's Joy. I have, for the people that walked yesterday, who came out and walked to support me. They had a shirt on with my picture on it, and then I had the picture with my mother's name, with my mother's picture on it, and underneath the team name of Brenda's Joy, which I was a joy to my mom, firstborn child, and a alhamdulillah. So ask her later any questions.
Thank you so much. We got some questions for you, sis, but we're going to come back. We're going to take a station break, and then we're going to come back to you, inshallah ta'ala. And so and that should be in a couple of minutes, inshallah ta'ala.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're back, and we're with our dear sister Saida LaFontaine, or Joy LaFontaine, our sister Saida, who, as she explained, had participated in this particular annual walk for the last 27 years. I have a couple of questions for you, sis, if you would have us. And my first question to you is, when you talk about the sponsors who sponsored this particular event, how do you feel or what makes you motivated to participate despite the fact that it's sponsored by a group of quote-unquote gay men? Or gay people. It's the gay people's organization. What can you give us on that?
Well, it's a gay men's organization. I'm not proud that what it seems like that the gay men's organization represents all people who live with HIV, which would not be true, because if you look at it, the numbers don't say all that gay men represent the whole United States, because black African Americans represent more in numbers than gay men, or they're running in neck and neck. So for me to participate, I don't participate because they run it. I participate in, because I'm a person who makes up all of the people who live with HIV. So I participate just to walk amongst others and to show that it's not just gay men who, because this is your organization and society probably makes it seem like because this is their organization that they make up. No, there are black people, black Americans, black Muslims who live with HIV too. So I walk because I represent all of those black people who are afraid to come out, who are afraid to be seen, who are afraid to, you know, oh, this person's going to see me, now they're going to talk about me. I'm a person that just is representing not only for myself, my mom, and whoever else lives with it. That's why I walk out there, because it has to be known that it's just not a gay white man's disease. It's amongst everybody, and you just you cannot be afraid or ashamed. It's been around too long to be afraid and ashamed to be a part or to walk for a cause like this. So that's why I walk, not because this is their organization. I walk because there are others amongst myself who might want to go come out and who are afraid, who still feel like, or there is stigmatism. Because I'm sure that there are some people who are like, oh, Saida? Oh, I didn't know. Or Joy? Oh, I didn't know. But me, because I am the person I am, I don't care what other people say. So, and that has come over the years, because I used to care what people thought. But in the end, why am I going to care about what they thought? Because at the end of the day, Allah takes care of me, and nobody else don't take care of me. So, and it's too much of a heavy burden to even think about why people were thinking about or why people are looking at me any different. But there are people out there that needs to be out there, black people, Latinos, and I just represent our people that don't want to come out. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And brothers and sisters, please be mindful if you have any questions or concerns about it, and you want to ask the question before, please press 1 on your phone. We look forward to hearing from you, inshallah ta'ala. Question number 2, dear sister. How did you feel yesterday when you were in amongst the multitudes of people, and you know, as we know that there was this huge gay pride scene that was there. Can you give us something on that?
Walking in the, while we were walking and enjoying the park of the scenery, the beautiful flowers, the nice weather, and being amongst the people we came with and the supporters that were there, I feel like the gay cheerleaders and the gay whoever, that shouldn't be a part, they should not be a part of the scenery. That's not what the walk is about. And I know because it's a gay men's organization, they feel like they're going to do whatever they feel that they want to do, but they should not be a part of an annual walk like that. It just puts a different, you know, that's not a part of our life. And it shouldn't be put out there like it's forced that we should see this, or we know that people live like that, they choose to live like this, and we know Allah did not make man to man or woman to woman. So it should not be forced upon us. We see it every single day in life. That should be exit out of the walk. But I did my very best because it was making me angry, or made me upset as I'm walking, and it was like they was putting on a show for us to see, and it's not about a show. It's about walking for a cause, walking to show support. And why should I have to see you throwing pom poms up in the air, or you're dancing, or that's not what it was about yesterday. So I really, it's sad on how society forces us to see things like this, or forces us to make it seem like this is the norm, and it's not normal. It's just not normal. I feel like it.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, I appreciate hearing that perspective. And I was there, I was present. And, you know, what has happened to us is, as a people, is that, and it's good that you see it that way, sis. I appreciate knowing that you have that sentiment. And remember now, we have to look at it with a perspective. What's the religious perspective? The religious perspective is that we mean no harm. The ultimate theme of the Quran is to remove all harm, all inequities, all unfairness, all oppression, and so on and so forth. But what I've noticed with this country and our society is, as in the way that it is that it has emboldened the idea of wrongdoing. It's given the air of confidence to things that totally against what Allah says. And so when it gets like that, it gets scary. And so when we see this overcompensation to want to promote the freedoms that we think we have, then we run into a problem, dear brothers and sisters. We run into a problem, and just because the Muslims were there doesn't mean the Muslims agree with their objective and their goals. We therefore, the sentiment to preserving life, okay, but we're not there marching in their parade. We're not there co-signing males committing adultery with males and females with females. We're not there condoning that. We're there on behalf of the actual disease in and of itself, not the cause of it, not the behavior that's associated with it in a lot of ways. But there's been many people who have received blood transfusions and got HIV. There are many people who were born with HIV. And they didn't never take on those behaviors or attitudes. They weren't at risk of anything, you see. And so it's more to it. It's more to it, and it has a greater level of diversity when you start looking at the races of people that have been affected by this. But as Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, we have a clear understanding as to what we're about. Innama a'malu biniyat. Do you agree, sister?
Yes.
And so when we really look at it, participating in something of that nature until we can start our own stuff, there's no harm in it because we're not agreeing with that lifestyle. We're not saying, you know, or we're not dressing up, if you will. We're there talking about the countless many numbers of people, of loved ones that we've lost. And I don't know anybody in New York City or around the country that didn't lose somebody that they knew or they were related to that had the virus. And when they talk about the people that they knew, they don't talk about how they got it. They just talk about the loss or the pain of the loss. And so until the Muslims can do better, we show our support in an effort to ask, you know, the one who creates and causes healing is the same one who causes disease, that the mentality that has stained our people is removed so that we can see altogether clear and that the men will accept who they are and the women will accept who they are as Allah pleased for them to be, as opposed to people questioning their gender, their identity, and not being satisfied with what Allah had already decreed, what He was already all right with, and that was you being who He made you. And so it's important that we understand that, dear brothers and sisters. I hope I said something to the point, inshallah ta'ala. At the same time, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless us. When we come back, we're going to bring in a caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zabrita Hadi, director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation. So please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
They need a whole new board of directors.
We're back. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We want to bring in 718-813. State your name, where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. This is Zainab from Brooklyn, New York. I really appreciate the conversation, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he blesses you and Sister Sayyida for the work around HIV/AIDS. I do have a question, and maybe it's more of a comment, but I'm wondering if there has ever been any talk about establishing your own walk for Muslims or even just people of color. We don't have to limit it to the Muslims, but people of color living with AIDS. Because I too was interested in attending the walk, but similar to what the sister mentioned, a lot of those other things that are taking place, like the gay pride and all that other stuff, it concerned me as a Muslim. And then also having a young child, I didn't really want them to be exposed to that or for them to get confused thinking that that's okay. So are you guys working on doing your own walk and maybe even interested in collaborating with other organizations, other Muslim organizations to facilitate something like that? Because I think as the sister mentioned and even as the imam mentioned too, there are a lot of people who have HIV or test HIV positive or have, you know, full-blown AIDS that did not contract it that way. Or maybe they did and they changed their lives, right? Allahu a'lam, how they contracted it. And honestly speaking, I think at this point it really, the how doesn't matter. But like just really doing it in a way where you're not subjecting to that, to all that foolishness. And then also, we're not subjecting our children to that, too. So I just really wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that, inshallah.
So the response is we're always willing to work with others. However, I have in mind, too, and I spoke to my imam about, I don't want to just talk about it yet, as of yet, or put it out there as of yet, but I'm thinking by Allah's permission to work on something.
Okay.
So I'm putting things together. I have things written down and I have things in mind. So I am working on getting something put together, and then we can branch out and work with other Muslims to come and join in. And let me correct you before, the next time that you speak to someone, don't ever say full-blown AIDS. It's no such thing. Just say AIDS. Don't say full-blown. They're going to say that doesn't exist. It's just HIV or AIDS. That's it.
Okay. Thank you for the correction.
For the next
I appreciate
time,
it.
Just don't say full-blown. It's just AIDS. But, yes,
okay.
We're always willing to work with others, but I am working on something with my email, and we'll see what comes out out of play with Allah's permission.
Okay, inshallah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I want to thank you for calling in and making those comments and having those questions. We appreciate you. We know some people out there in Canarsie, so we thank Allah for the Canarsie people. We also want you to know that we are open to working with organizations like the organization that you run, that you established. We want to congratulate you on a successful first annual scholarship event that was done in honor of your Umi and our dear sister, Doctor. And so we want you to know that we appreciate what you guys are doing and you're in our prayers. It's important that we say this to you on the air because people need to know about the work that you sisters are actually doing in the neighborhoods, you know, in your town or in Brooklyn, you know, in Harlem, in the Bronx. And maybe by some chance, some people somewhere will hear about what you're doing and maybe do what you're doing where they are. And we can't lose when that takes place. So thank you so much, dear sister.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Dear brothers and sisters, you're listening to Ma'iya Al-Kuli Hal. We're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. And we're going to go for another break. And when we come back, we want those of you who have not pressed one on your phone with your question or comment, please feel free to do so.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
We're back, and we have our sister Saida LaFontaine from El Masjid Adam, the Community Life Center for Human Excellence here in the Bronx, New York, who led a group of individuals, Muslim and non-Muslim family and non-family members, for the AIDS walk, and she talked to us this evening about some of the concerns that she has, but the concern, the greater concerns were the reasons why she was there despite the things that become concerns, and that is the promotion of the lifestyles that may lead to a diagnosis such as HIV. And so I was present and I watched her demeanor. I watched her interacting with all of us, and I suddenly realized that this is one of our ambassadors that will bridge gaps for us in our community, but also will help us start the discussion. And this discussion is one that we don't have. See, we have the problem, but we don't talk about it. We have the problem, we're looking right at it, but we don't talk about it, dear brothers and sisters. We need to help, but we don't help each other because we don't want to solve the problem. We'd rather leave it like it is. And so when we have individuals who have been largely marginalized in our community, what we have to do is we have to think deep and find ways to bring them out, such as our sister. And so we want to provide her a platform in every way, shape, and form, in every avenue, in every way in which we can, so that she can continue the fine work that she's been doing for the last 27 years. She's not only been living with the diagnosis, but she's been out there on the ground. And so, sister, I would like for you to share with us some closing statements. And if there's a way we can reach out to you, if there's a program that you're doing, and so on and so forth. But we want you to know that we appreciate you too. And that coming to stand with you for the walk, I didn't have to think hard on where to be that Sunday, because I knew that those efforts that you're making are efforts that will help some other people. So may Allah continue to bless you and keep you strong, keep you healthy, but keep your spirits high and increase you in your iman. And to that we say, I mean, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. So, as the imam said, yes, for 27 years, the illness lives with me. I don't live with the illness. That's what I tell people. That is not my diagnosis. It lives within me, and then that's it. However, I do empowerment speakings with whoever wants me to come out, with all populations, Muslim young people. I did a program with ASEA, with Jessica Cairns, for a weekend, and talked to our young sisters, and really got down with the nitty gritty. I had to really talk to them in their language for them to understand how this thing works. So not in my terminology, how I'm talking to adults, but to talk to the young people, because that's my goal, is to make sure the message gets to them, because I don't ever want them to be in a situation like myself. I go to any senior, any place of seniors. So mostly the seniors who call me or email me are mostly of churches, and I talk to senior women groups, and I speak to them. And I speak to them on their level of understanding, so they'll understand. So, yes, there are seniors who have HIV and AIDS, and it doesn't take a rocket science, but when I started to learn and do the research and when I started giving groups, I had to ask the hardest questions. I just didn't really want to know, but I wanted to know, like, why do I have 80-year-olds sitting in a group that I gave on every Wednesday? So in order for me to know why these women were sitting in my group, I had to ask the question, how did you get it? So, and then I had to do the research on it and then look at the numbers on the CDC. So my information is Syeda LaFontaine, S-Y-E-E-D-A, LaFontaine, L-A-F, like Frank, O-N-T-A-I-N-E. My email is LaFontaine, L-A-F, like Frank, O-N-T-A-I-N-E, J, like Joy, 73@yahoo.com. Or you can reach me at mobile phone 929-304-9745. I'm always on my phone. I will return any emails or telephone calls if I'm doing something else. Just leave a message and the reason why you call it, and I will return your phone call back to you. But the message I leave with you today, our greatest advocacy is our village. The hardest thing for me is I didn't have anybody to educate me. I didn't have anybody to tell me the rights and the wrongs. Don't do this, don't do that. I grew up in a group home. My mother was on drugs, and my grandmother was the person who raised myself and my siblings. And then when my grandmother died, we went into a system. Like I tell people is the group home I was in saved my life. I was able to go away to school. I was able to go away to college and play basketball. I got a scholarship. The group home saved my life because I don't even know where I would. I'm sure I probably would not have been right here, right now. So So the greatest advocacy is our village, and I just want to get the message out to the young people. So if anyone wants me to come out and speak to our young people, please give me a call. I will clear all my schedules just so I can get the message out to the young people. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you so much. We are so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have you with us this evening. We want to have you back so you can give us an update on some of the things that you're doing in and around the community. You're going to be invited at some point to the masjid to do some kind of presentation about the work that we're doing, that you're doing. And we want to try to make sure that it's in a good format so we can shape it around our young people. Okay, so with that being said, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to be closing out. And if there's any more callers, please feel free to dial in now. Inshallah, to press 1 on your phone, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're back, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to my Ya Al Kuli Hal. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz. We're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. And we were treated this evening with a special guest, Sister Saida LaFontaine, a member of the masjid here in the Bronx, but also a member of the community of those individuals who have been diagnosed with HIV for the last 27 years. And from the beginning of the actual diagnosis, we see that our sister has been working hard to not only keep herself healthy, but also to keep people aware. And she's mentioned to us how she has spent a lot of time, or she's spending a lot of time, on getting the message out to our young people. And so we want to just let her know before closing out that we appreciate what you've done and how you've made lemons into lemonade. And so, and that's a very, very, very beautiful thing. Allah says in the Quran, هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. And he says to us that he has created death and life so that he may test which of us will do the best thing, which of us is better in our actions. And so the purposes of this test, like the diagnosis, was a test. It was like getting lemons and making lemonade out of it. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to preserve our dear sister and to continue blessing her with good health, all of support she needs, and keep her in the good spirits. And to that we say ameen. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to remember him and to show gratitude to him and worship him in the best way. we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing, the all-seeing. He is the one who gives and he's the one who takes away. And so we ask him to bless us, to remember him, and to show gratitude to him and worship him in the best way. And to that we say, I mean. Lastly, we have a beautiful way of knocking out some of the stigma that goes out there. Because I had Muslims who were with me yesterday who were very, 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 very sensitive to the people that was exhibiting gay pride. And so I had to inform the brother to take it easy, man. You know, we're not here for that. We're here with the intentions of supporting the people who have been diagnosed despite the behaviors that are associated with, but then the diagnosis is not necessarily based on those behaviors, you see. But there have been some, there are some people that come through the door and they come through recklessly. And so I thought it was a plus that there was no incident, despite the fact that, you know, some of the people that were marching, some of them was inebriated, some of them needed somebody to walk them, you know, back out of the park. You know, there were some people that were there for the wrong reasons. But what I do know, this is no way, when they have gay pride, that's when they actually show that they feel as though they deserve to be, or they have the right to be. And just because you have the right to do that, you got a right to jump off the roof on your own. But we're not suggesting go jump off the roof. Is that the best thing for you? No. You see? And so the life that Allah has given you is still not a life that belongs to you. This is why we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely from Allah we come, and to him we will return. So it's important that we understand that, dear brothers and sisters. And anything outside of that, or it's just mannerisms within the confines of our faith, there's no way that we can discuss that particular diagnosis without discussing the impact that it has on the Muslim community. There's some impact that it has on our community. And so we have to be mindful of that, but also at the same time, make sure that our identity as Muslims practicing the religion and not compromising is also in the forefront. May Allah help us to that we say, Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Illa ladhina amanu wal amilu salihati. Wa tawassal bil haqq. Wa tawassal bil sabr. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Be there.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.